Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Calls and thoughts where you can bring up anything that's on your mind. You can also join us online over at freetalklive.com. Many features available there, including archives that go way back, all completely free. A lot of those other talk show hosts, they want to charge you for accessing their site. I know that, Jay, you want to comment at some point. Well, we're going to get to it. The discussion that we had maybe like two weeks ago, about hiring older people instead of younger people, and that's something that's starting to happen more commonly out there. Even people retired are coming back into the workforce, and they're finding it easy to compete against the millennials and the Gen Zs. We'll get into that coming up here. But let's go first to Human, calling us from somewhere out there. Go ahead, Human.
Good evening. I dare you to use a bulletin board instead of your cell phone.
You dare me to use a bulletin board instead of a cell phone?
I like that advice.
That's in public at laundromats, they have them. You know, people post notes on them.
Yeah, sure. Well, I mean, it's definitely old-timey, and it's definitely going to get something in front of someone in a much more conspicuous manner, as long as it's not all cluttered up. Of course, you know, one of the problems with those bulletin boards is if there's a ton of stuff on it, it's hard to really see what's there.
I use some local bulletin boards quite often. Mm-hmm. I got these know your facts about COVID-19 vaccine.
Nice.
Business cards from I can't remember the website. I got pulling in my pocket. Anyways, and I put those up at a couple places in Ware, Country Three Corner.
Was it like just a full sheet with the tears in the
no,
on the bottom?
No, just a business card.
Okay.
And I put some other, you know, type of, you know, freedom pop propaganda things on bulletin boards, like the White Rose stickers. And, but like the one at the little hardware store, when the old manager worked there, she was very much all about the masking and all that stuff. All that stuff got pulled down like immediately. I think she would comb through it like every time.
Oh, yeah, that is a difficulty.
But now they got new management, and they've been staying up there for a while.
Okay, good.
So that's cool.
Yeah, it is always a good idea to go back and check in on the things that you've posted to see if they've been removed, maybe in a sort of hostile manner by somebody. I remember when we had the Keene Free Press and the New Hampshire Free Press, which were the local newspapers that were being printed here in the Keene area for many years. There was always I think, legitimate concern that some hater was just going to come along and take the entire stack of newspapers out of the box. Because, you know, we had those, like, freebie boxes where there's no coin control on that. You can just open it up, take whatever you want out of it, which could include the entire stack. And there was one time when we suspected that happened just because it was emptied out real fast. I mean, you don't know unless you have a camera that's posted on it, but if it's just a few flyers on a bulletin board and you're there often enough, then it's easy to check in.
The business card I'm talking about here, I've been passing these out for a little while now, is learntherisk.org, and it's all about basically COVID vaccines and vaccines in general, and mm-hmm. some evidence and some studies on it.
Did you hear about what Nikki had to say the other night about there's now a study about mask wearing and it's caused potentially all kinds of health problems?
I actually saw it posted in one of our show prep groups. But yeah,
surprise, surprise, huh?
Well, I mean, I kind of figured anyways right. That was going to happen.
Yeah, it turns out breathing back in the stuff you're not supposed to breathe might actually hurt you. So I support this in general. I think that using these older methods of communicating, these sort of analog methods of communicating, I think could actually be more conspicuous these days because online, you're hit with so many messages. You're hit with so many advertisements. There's so many different things that are competing for your attention when you're online. But when you're offline, I feel like, I mean, I'm not saying go buy a billboard, because I think those are still things that people ignore. But low-cost guerrilla marketing advertising like this, putting something up on a billboard, or just having somebody stand on a street corner and hand out flyers, just the old method of getting something, getting a message, like a physical message into people's hands. I don't know. Maybe, I feel like it should be more effective now than it would have been 30 years ago.
I agree with you also. And also, even with raising our kids, you know, a big thing with me is, you know, this invest in our posterity I keep on talking about. And, you know, with our kids, we should be encouraging them to do these sort of analog type communication things, you know, when it comes to writing notes. Like my daughter, she's three, but, you know, we talked actually last night about she wanted to write Grammy Kay a letter. That's my mom. And, mm-hmm. and you know, the communication she has with her now is like through a video chat once right. in a while. But, you know, she lives 3,000 miles away in Arizona, so it's hard to visit. But just any kind of analog communication, especially when you got young kids, should really be exercised, because quite soon the generation that's, you know, toddlers right now may never know what any of these analog communications are that, you know, have been used for years. They might not even know what AM/FM radio is in 15 years or 10 years.
Good chance of it. That's something we were talking about the other night is, you know, what are the odds that young people are even being brought up with a radio habit today? They're just not. And so I think radio is going to have a real struggle ahead in the next 20 years as, you know, the people that are right now 60 to 80 years old are going to pass away, most of them, in the next 20 years, right?
Yeah, that's the big radio demographic.
That's the people that were raised with radio and nothing else, raised with the old broadcast methods and nothing else. I mean, Gen X was, so they're going to still be kind of hanging on to some extent, but it's going to be a big hit. And we see this right now with television news like Fox and MSNBC. I mean, they're losing their audience just due to attrition. And so that's something they have to do. I'm not saying they can't survive it, but I think they are going to have to start focusing on digital. They're going to have to start focusing on delivering unique content, locally focused content, and doing it online if they're not already. If they don't have, you know, if radio stations don't have podcasts, you know, if they don't have a live stream, they need to get to that point to try to build something for these new generations to discover.
Yeah. And to add to that, I don't know if the caller has another comment.
He's gone. He called with that little quick hit and disappeared.
Oh, okay. Well, anyways, to add to that, you know, I think that there could potentially be actually a big non-digital market for children's education as people start getting smarter and learning about how, you know, the interaction with the internet devices is really just basically making algorithmic slaves out of the kids mm-hmm. when they become adults. Even as young kids, you know, there's so many stories of, you know, if I take my 7-year-old's device away, he's a monster, or, you know, that's all he wants. It's all he wants to do. There's all kinds of these stories.
It's like taking crack away from a crack addict.
Exactly.
Right?
Because the internet device basically stimulates the exact same part of the brain as cocaine. And this is why all of the scientists and, you know, psychologists and children behavioral or whatever's are referring to internet devices as digital cocaine. Mm-hmm. It has the same exact effect on the brain. And in fact, it produces a much greater dopamine hit in the basically under 6-year-old brain. Because kids under 6, you know, that first 6 years of life is 90% of brain development. And then another thing that happens with the internet device is use with the, you know, toddlers and infants is that the neurological pathways from the frontal lobe don't actually go to this, get wired to basically the same place. They get wired to that part of the brain that gets stimulated by sex, violence, internet devices, and drugs, instead of getting wired to the part of the brain that ends up being, you know, the part that has to do with reasoning and logic. And I believe that's why you have a lot of millennials that grew up in cities that have been on internet devices most of their lives that essentially have no or very little reasoning and logic. And we see, I think that's kind of what a lot of the people who support a lot of these radical leftist ideas and movement, I think that they're victims of that, you know, my personal opinion, you know, and you know, the criteria is growing up in a city, that had high speed internet. Let's, you know, a lot of these cities now have had pretty much high speed internet for, you know, nearly 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really convenient babysitter. And still to this day, there's a lot of new parents that are just letting their kids be pacified by internet devices, and they have no idea of the danger of it. But there's a lot of parents out there that have, you know, young teenagers and younger right now that, you know, their kids are coming and letting them know as soon as the Wi-Fi doesn't work, you know, and the kids, you know, and like the kids are freaking out unless they, you know, get that device. But like,
and the funny thing is about this, Jay, is, you know, as somebody who is, I'm a Gen X kind of millennial borderline, but I grew up in the 80s and the 90s. And so I kind of came up as a teenager when the internet was just kind of coming out.
Right.
I know how to solve the problem when the Wi-Fi goes out. I know how to get into a router and do some of the kind of the technical stuff that needs to get done. These kids today, they don't know how to solve their problems with their devices, a lot of them. They know how to get on the Wi-Fi, but they don't know how to fix the problems when they come up. So it's like, even though they've been raised from, in many cases, day zero with a device in their hands, they don't know how it works. They don't know how to actually fix the problems when they arise. And they really are very helpless. That's why I'm not surprised to hear that they're coming and asking for help with, you know, when the Wi-Fi goes out.
Well, and I've even said to like people, like a Porkfest is a great place, for example, to get to de-device your kids and get your kids off the internet. Because you're going camping for a week, for example, and just don't
that
even...
That was the old reason why people went camping, was to get away from television and get away from the, you know, the regular rigmarole.
Yeah, and this is like one of the problems I have with Porkfest over the past couple of years is they didn't create like a, you know, a paper, you know, program. You know, they just had, it was all like...
All online.
On some app that you got to download on your phone that all of a sudden a whole bunch of people are using it there, and then the internet don't work too well, so... But it's like, oh man, I'm at Porkfest. I don't even want to look at my phone. That's why I had, you know, my cryptocurrency QR codes when I sell, you know, meat. I got them all printed out, so I didn't even have to handle the phone at all. And, camping is a great time to, de-device and not even bring it back. But a lot of the problem is the parents can't get away from the devices because a lot of, you know, people our age are literally addicted to internet devices also.
Absolutely.
In fact, I have a good friend. I think he's like 58. I don't exactly know how old he is, but he was at my farm today doing some stuff. But in the fall, he was coming to my place, you know, three or four times a week just to do farm chores for a few hours, just to get away from his computer. And he's a guy that has an online, you know, type tech job. And he's like, oh, I got internet addiction, and I got to stay off the computer. And, you know, my eyes are, you know, starting to go bad because I'm always looking at a screen and, you know, so he really had to take some time off. But he'd be telling me about, you know, how he's just driving home and he's just like not even hungry or doesn't even want to eat or drink stuff because his only focus is getting home and looking at the computer. It's like it's a very hard addiction for him.
At least he knows he is addicted.
Yeah, yeah.
And that helps, right? Like that's step one.
Yeah, and he had like, you know, his honest friends, you know, telling him, hey, man, you got an internet addiction problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I do tell a bunch of people that I know that they have internet addiction problems, and, you know, and half of them are like, yeah, you're right. And, you know, half of them are like, you don't know what you're talking about, you know. But it's just, you know, I see there's a lot of people, they just can't leave the phone, you know, somewhere else.
Right.
You know, they always got to look at it. I have a couple family members that every time there's a family gathering, a few times I've just gone and unplugged a router when we're having family gatherings, and how come the internet don't work here? I'm like, we're in the middle of the woods, we don't have internet, or whatever. You know, I didn't pay the bill, but my brother would be like, oh man, can you go turn the internet on? You know, because he wants to like look up something. But yeah, there's just got to keep the kids off the internet. Especially when they're young. And, you know, like you and I learn how to use the internet basically as adults or almost adults.
Yeah.
So anybody could learn this stuff, and it's engineered and tailored. So you learn it instantly and really like it. And it's, you know, very pleasing. So, if you can keep your kids off internet devices and out of public schools, There's a good chance they're going to grow up and be productive, useful, and have value to their community.
That's a good point. And I think that we covered a story some months ago about this movement of youth in, I think it was Manhattan, of all places, that was making a concerted effort to unplug themselves from devices. So whether you want to call them a Luddite or whatever, these are people who have come to the understanding that there's value in life outside of being connected to these online systems constantly. And they'll have meetups where they, you know, show up without the phone. Right? Some of them have ditched the phone altogether. They've gotten like a dumb phone, for instance. Yep. So they still can keep in touch with their parents and things like that, but they don't have the internet access on it. And then they'll, you know, newbies will show up at the meeting and they'll still have the smartphone, but they'll be told, look, you got to put it down. You can't access the phone. They're new to it. So they're trying to wean themselves off of those devices. And of course, I think this is an interesting experiment. I don't know if it's something that's going to catch on, but it might, you know, there may be a pendulum swing at some point. There may be, some people who say this has gone too far. Or at least it's gone too far for me, and I've got to take some steps. And we may see a shift in that direction. Or maybe not. Or maybe people will, you know, go fully into the metaverse or melding themselves with AI. I mean, there's going to be all kinds of crazy things. But I think the further the pendulum swings towards more and more integration of humanity with tech, I think you will see some pushback with that. I think you will see some people say, nope. No to AI, no to robots, no to, you know, going any further or deeper into this. In fact, trying to extract themselves out.
I've been witnessing the pushback that you're talking about. So I know a family, you know them too. They have three children. Mm-hmm. The youngest one's a girl who I think is four. The oldest one is about 18. And they're good friends of mine. And they have a middle kid who's like 10. And basically the youngest, they're like, no internet devices. They just read her books. They let her read books. Mm. The middle kid is like,
and he's a computer guy, right?
Like this guy is a computer guy. Right. He's a tech guy. Right. Yep. He does. Yeah, he's an excellent tech guy. He's really good at his job. And their middle kid really, really into looking at the devices, and it's kind of been a struggle. And the kid's clearly addicted to the internet, and you know, we're all aware of it. Kid's even aware of it. I had a conversation with him a few months ago about, hey, you know, you start feeling like crap when you're not using a device and stuff. And he's like, I really like playing games, or like, are you just like interacting with the device, whether you're playing a game or whether you're watching a movie or something? And he's like, I really like it a lot. And but he kind of had it a bit when he was young, and you know, the parents didn't really know better, and they're like, well, this is what I'm doing, and it's constructive, and this is how I work.
Yeah.
And and the thing with the flip phones is, like, that's my next phone's going to be a flip phone, mostly for the purpose of the example for my kids. And my wife, I haven't quite 100% sold her on getting a flip phone yet, but she probably will. I'm trying to go back to like just, I won't even look at email on my phone. I don't have the password or nothing on my phone. I only do that on a computer, which is a little bit of a pain in the butt sometimes, but you know, whatever. And then I have countless amount of friends. I'll like hit them up on Signal and then I'll get an SMS text message back from, I went back to a flip phone, so I only use Signal on my computer or tablet or something. Okay. So I probably have at least 7 or 8 people that I talk to often that have done that.
That's surprising.
They're just understanding that, you know, the distraction thing. And actually, all these, the first guys I've noticed that are doing this are the computer techie programmer types.
Really?
Yep.
It seems counterintuitive, but that's...
Well, they're sort of aware of the danger, and I've been talking about this a real lot for, like, the past year now, and I talk about this, you know, internet addiction, the dangers of internet devicing with children, how it reprograms their mind, how all the stuff it does, and how it's purposely set up for that, and these computer programmer guys... You know, they're the kind of guy. Also, these guys are the kind of guys that, like, even if they believe what I'm saying, they're going to go double check it. Sure. These are also the kind of guys who they'll call me and they'll be like, "Hey Jay, what you said was a little incorrect." Like, mm-hmm. I was talking to one of them about, was a PCR test, and I forget how I explained to him how it worked or whatever. And so he went and he did a bunch of research on it. He's like, "Oh no, that's not how it works. It works like this. It's, you know, multiplication of a," and I actually kind of forget what he told me, but I was sort of like not accurate on my thing. But, so all these computer guys that, are going back to the flip phones have really investigated this, you know, sort of dopamine loop addiction cycle that gets created off the internet devices. Mm-hmm. And the thing is the kind of internet that's accessed today, like you and I were, you know, in our 20s before you could even get remotely close to what you have now. You couldn't really get high speed internet, unless you went, like when I went to college, I went to a community college with my buddies, like went to UMass, and they're like, "Dude, check out the porn we can stream," you know, in 1999. Like, that was, like, the huge thing for a lot of my buddies that went to college. And then a lot of these, you know, my generation went to college of men, and they're all watching porn a lot. Mm-hmm. And they're starting to get some depression. And there's a whole bunch of studies out there about, "Oh, you're depressed? Just stop watching porn, and you won't be depressed anymore." Mm-hmm. And I forget, well, one of these guys I was listening to, a while ago, and he had it was like a TEDx talk he was doing, and he was talking about how he tried to do a study of college students, and this was like in 2007, college students that didn't use porn, college boys that didn't view porn versus college boys that viewed porn.
And he couldn't find the former group.
Right. He couldn't find any who didn't. He just, they weren't there. And
even at like a Christian college or something.
Well, he was a California UCLA guy. Okay. Yeah. So he was that college. And then he's like, "Oh, so I started reaching out to colleagues at, you know, other colleges around the country on a similar thing." And they basically all reported that, yeah, we couldn't find any boys that weren't using porn.
Well, and it may not just be a porn problem per se. It may just be that the porn is hitting that same dopamine hit that
exactly.
Facebook does. So,
oh,
like,
yeah.
If you're not looking at porn but you're still depressed on the internet, try quitting social media as well, right?
Yep.
Because they're just going there to get that hit again and again.
And social media is really hammering the crap out of our culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we wouldn't have this, you know, deranged, narcissistic, you know, crazy, you know, stuff going on with, you know, in our culture with all of the, you know, transgender stuff, with, you know, the woke, anything you consider wokeism basically can't happen without social media.
We can continue here. If you want to weigh in on this, you can share your thoughts. The number 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Plus, what about the younger people? Are they even willing to come to work anymore? If they're at work, can you get them off the phone while they're behind the counter and they're supposed to be doing something actually productive?
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. Two people are in the hospital after a fire and possible explosion in Oklahoma. It happened this afternoon at a marijuana grow house in Logan County. The victims suffered second and third degree burns. There's been a train derailment near the border of Wisconsin and northern Iowa. A Facebook video shows multiple train cars derailed and are in water in Ferryville, Wisconsin. BNSF Railway says two of three locomotives and many cars carrying different freight derailed on the banks of the Mississippi. Mississippi River. No life-threatening injuries were reported. Former President Trump is campaigning in the key early voting state of New Hampshire.
Next year, we're going to make history together when we win New Hampshire primary for the third straight time.
Trump, in a rally speech in Manchester today, rallied against President Biden, calling him grossly incompetent and a threat to democracy. Dave Collins, USA News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live. Phones are open. You can join the show here. The number is 603-283-6160. 603-283-6160. Free Talk Live is brought to you by, and by the way, this whole hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash, which is digital cash. And Dash, I'm really glad they're back on board here at Free Talk Live. We had them on as a sponsor years ago. And it's great to have them back on. They are a cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. There are so many cryptos out there that are just like meme coins or this cool technical concept, but there's very few that actually focus on the real reason why Bitcoin was created in the first place, which was to be used as peer-to-peer cash. Of course, we know that Bitcoin itself is useless for purchases these days because of the continuously rising fees, or the fees have been going crazy over the years, recent years with Bitcoin. But Dash continues to have fees that are less than 1 cent per transaction. And they've implemented really cool features to ensure Dash is undefeated as the most useful cryptocurrency in the marketplace. From a technical standpoint, Dash transactions are irreversible and its network is protected from the dreaded 51% attack by their chain locks technology. There's no need to wait for confirmation before considering the Dash transaction you receive as a merchant complete. So it's great for people that want to actually sell things online or even in person. I know, Jay, I'm pretty sure I've seen you accepting Dash at your food booth.
Yes, so I've actually been accepting Dash since, I believe, 2014 mm-hmm. or 2015.
It literally goes back just about that far. It started in 2014.
And I got my first Dash wallet. I was in Colorado. Dash was what, and I only got it because a guy was paying me to work for him in Dash.
No kidding. That's great.
And then Dash did a pretty good promotion at Alma Summer. Was really with her, I can't remember, undocumentedhuman.com mm-hmm. was her thing. But she was doing like a lot of media and really promoting Dash, and she did the Jackalope Freedom Festival, and I actually won a won some kind of raffle where you got Dash or something. I don't remember, but I got like $50 in Dash, and Dash was at like, you know, $3 or $2. I don't remember. It was very inexpensive.
Good old days.
And I donated it all to the porta potty fund at the thing at the Jackalope Freedom Festival. But the one thing I got to say about Dash is I've never actually ever had to call somebody and be like, hey, I need help with my Dash transaction.
Because it just works.
And I've never like had like an issue like mm-hmm. like I've definitely had a lot of issues with Bitcoin. Now I've done more Bitcoin transactions than Dash transactions, but Dash is just seems to be has always been sort of like more user friendly than all the others, and yep. it just works. And there's never been aggressive fees, and it seems to be. It just works.
It's one of the most yeah. consistently good cryptos. Yeah. It's been around for a long time. It's one of the oldest cryptos, and it's widely available on exchanges and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get Dash, and it's easy to use Dash. You can start by learning more at Dash.org, and big thanks to the Dash Decentralized Autonomous Organization for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air here on Free Talk Live. You can visit Dash.org to learn more about Dash. That is Dash.org. As we continue here, if you want to join the show, the number 603-283-6160. We were talking about people who are addicted to cell phones and digital devices, getting back into analog promotions. Like somebody just called in the top of the show just to promote the idea of just putting up a flyer on a bulletin board, for instance. And I know, Jay, you wanted to comment on just people working in general. We had a discussion a few weeks ago here on Free Talk Live about this story. I forget where it might have been, Wall Street Journal or something. I forget who deserves credit for it, but they interviewed business owners who were hiring people, and there were people who were being hired for jobs that normally are given to younger people. So the example the article gave was like a pack and ship place, like, you know, where there's mailboxes, you can take something in there and you can have them pack it up and ship it off, that kind of thing. There's a lot of lifting involved in those positions, and so that's why they hire, you know, guys that are on the football team or whatever, just young guys, right? But the owner of that business was saying he's going to be hiring a 70-year-old man because the 70-year-old man is going to show up to work on time. The 70-year-old man isn't going to sit on the phone the entire time that they're behind the counter, and they just have a good work ethic by comparison to the the Gen Zers, for instance. And that was just one example of people who are not getting jobs, young people who are losing out on what would otherwise be like kind of an entry level position. You wouldn't expect somebody in their 70s to want a job like this, but yet the guy in his 70s was out competing these young guys.
I think according to the USDA, the average American farmer is 72 years old right now.
Oh, my gosh.
Here's the thing. So a lot of your 20-something-year-olds, like especially anyone who's getting out of college, and I was just going to say, I don't mean to offend anybody who went to college, but actually I do mean to offend you if you've gone to college.
You got ripped off, most of
you. Well, you probably got ripped off, or your parents got ripped off if they paid for it. But basically, anyone who's going to college, not anyone, but most people going to college are going to get some kind of parasite, you know, sector job. By parasite sector, I mean a government job, working for the state, working for the county, or working mm-hmm. in some very heavily regulated government business, whether it be financial. And I know some good libertarian freedom anarchist types that work in financial, and they're like, oh, yeah, financial is a total parasite industry.
Sure.
You know, and anything that's beholden to the U.S. dollar, for example, or fiat or whatever. It's all parasite insurance, most real estate. The thing is most people, you know, who seem to be going to college are going to have a whole bunch of debt, and, you know, they're being promised jobs. And who's really screwing them over is the guidance counselors. But, like, your average college graduate right now, of everyone I'm talking to, like, they don't work well as waitresses. They're not working good as cooks. So I got friends that have restaurants. I got friends that have trucking companies, farms, farming operations. And they're basically saying anyone under 25, like my one friend, who's one of my buddies, is a farmer. He runs some cattle and some pigs and a little trucking operation. And he's trying to hire, like, kids that, you know, they're on, you know, they're recommended from some locals. And they're like 17, 18, 19 years old. And he's got them depackaging, like, food for pigs.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't, and, you know, the guy's got a couple of, like, you know, teenage daughters who just work circles around, you know.
Wow.
College-age kids and, you know, 19-year-olds and stuff, boys.
Like, this is as low skill can get.
And it's just physical labor, mm-hmm. you know, and it's not even that bad of physical labor. It's not like, you know, they've gotten around a stack in hay in July, you know, which is actual real work. They're just ripping open bags of bread and, yeah. and stuff like that to feed pigs, and they can't even handle it. My friend, he just opened up a restaurant in town, and all the waitresses there, I might get in trouble for saying this, but I don't think any of them are under 50 that I've met, you know, and they all do their job exceptionally well. And then right. there's another restaurant place I've gone to where some of these young waitresses seem to be like, you know, like they could put more effort into it, or they're just, you know, they're not really getting everything. And I've, you know, my wife especially has had to explain a couple of times to a couple of young waitresses. And now we're like, oh, hey, that hot coffee, don't put it where our kids can reach it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cause I've had them like 2 weeks ago somewhere, and this, you know, young waitress put a hot coffee like right in front of my 19-month-old.
Mm.
She had no idea. She don't have kids.
Right.
You know, and then
I grabbed that cup.
Oh, he
right
tried
over.
Hard and I, mm-hmm. you know, was able to snag it, and I burnt myself a little bit grabbing the coffee out of the way, spilling it on me, you know,
mm-hmm.
and, cause I grabbed my hand over the top quickly cause I knew I was gonna have to pull it away cause He gets his hands on something and he don't let go.
Yeah. It's halfway across the room.
Right, right. That, you know, that's what little kids do.
Yeah.
And so now I'm like, oh, you gotta not do that. And, cause I don't know if they know this, you know, and I'm,
sure.
And another thing too is like, one local hardware store, two hardware stores I frequent a lot. They're sort of like, I wouldn't call them mom and pop hardware stores, but they're small. And, you know, they're not Lowe's or Home Depot, but like, there's a couple of guys and girls that work in this hardware store that have been there for the 5 years I've been frequenting it, and they do a very good job. They know mm-hmm. they're exceptional workers, and I always thank them for coming to work. But they have a lot of turnover when they're hiring young kids, and I'm in a college town, so there's a bunch of college kids that come from New England College, and then you know you'd be talking to some of these guys sometimes that like run the place or the guy's been working there for a while. I'm like, hey, what happened to so and so? Oh, you know, he's in college.
No,
you know, he basically, I can't work here anymore, he says. He goes, I can't be stacking lumber like this, and, you know, I can't do this, or it's too hot, or it's too cold. Because, yeah. you know, lumber yard, you got to go outside and, you know, pick lumber and, you know, put it in guys' trucks or whatever.
Right.
And, you know, you got to do real work. And even, it's
they're
like
spoiled. They don't want to do real work. A lot of yep. these guys, they're not even getting jobs until they get into college.
Right.
They've never had, this may be those kids' first jobs. And they're like, whew, this is really real work. I'd rather just go online and dick
yep.
around all day.
I think it's seriously detrimental that that teenagers aren't working jobs.
Definitely.
You know, so like one of my best friends who's a very motivated, successful guy.
Some of them can't even drive, Jay. They can't even
right.
get themselves to the job.
Oh, yes, that's a big thing too. But one of my buddies, he grew up in suburbia. His parents both worked, you know, like what mom's school teacher, dad worked, you know, some office job. But the day he turned 14, his mother was like, you're going to work. So she brought him to, I don't know, a place was called Spags, I think he told me. Or something. And, yeah, they just brought them right there and they're like, oh, you're 14. Go ahead. You know, stock these shelves or do this or that and the other thing. And he can remember like his mother and his father were like, and the guy's about my age, were like, you are going to be in serious trouble if you get fired. Like that was like going to be a major disappointment. So he'd like, he just did everything. He was, you know, he got all the crap work and, you know, someone mm-hmm. like, you know, vomited all over the floor. And of course, him has got to pick it up, you know, cause he's a low guy. And,
yep.
But, you know, and then, but I think it's a shame that a lot of kids aren't working like, you know, at 7, 8 years old. I mean, my daughter,
Totally
she's
agree.
Three and loves to work, you know, do farm work. And he's like, she
it's
just
so
loves
rewarding.
It.
I mean, whether it's farm work or any kind of work, it's work to, you know, whenever you are at a job and you're helping people, it's rewarding.
Yep.
I want to add in what Jay in our chat room says. He says, the only place I haven't had terrible service after the pandemic is most Chinese buffets or Brazilian steakhouses. He says, everything else, it's like the waitresses are putting in one-third of the effort, and they still want 20%.
I agree. So here, yeah. So here's a cultural difference. So I've definitely have worked a lot with Brazilians, like first-generation Brazilians that, mm-hmm. you know, are here. Awesome culture. Really, really good culture. The Brazilian men are real men. They are, you know, they care about their kids. They're very interested in, like, you know, working hard and providing a good service. They are very interested in their reputation. That's another problem, too, is, like, if you're just behind a keyboard, like, and you're interacting and growing up through life through an internet device. So definitely when I was a young boy, I got into fist fights in school. And a lot of boys did, and I became good friends with those guys, and we learned to respect each other and develop fellowship and be buddies. Hmm. But we got into some fights. You know, I grew up in a little rural town, and it was a mixture between, like, you know, country kids and city kids. So we had some, you know, things. And but even, like, you know, the whole just interacting with people and work in general, I kind of lost where I was going to go with, you know, what I was just saying here, but the devicing is taking the reality out of everything. In fact, if you you know, are a parent at home or a grandparent or expecting to have kids or just even care about this, just quite simply internet search the term internet devices children dopamine,
mm-hmm.
and just read
plenty of stuff.
Any of those articles, I mean, there's just so much stuff pulls up. But oh, that's what I was gonna get back to. So, like, the sense of pride of accomplishing something you know, is totally different when you build your own tree fort,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, you have a 4-H pig that you raise from a piglet, which is what a lot of, you know, rural Americans have done, or the fact that, like, you know, entrepreneurs, just as a broad spectrum, I say farmers and entrepreneurs, but all farmers are basically entrepreneurs. I talk about the people growing up in the cities and, you know, basically not, you know, they're either going to daycare and then they're going right to school or they're going to pre-kindergarten. Like, and there's a lot of, like, you know, parents are, you know, corporate lifestyle parents are dropping their babies off at daycare at 6 or 8 months old. And then they're,
and you don't get to raise your own kids.
And then basically they're from daycare to nursery school to whatever, the kids, you know, you don't really see your kids for, you know, until they graduate high school, then you're shipping them off to college, but the parents have very little interaction. Well, entrepreneurs, so a lot of these kids that grow up in these environments where it's like an urban area or suburban, there really isn't farm chores for them to do, seem to be, you know, very much of this kind of, you know, mindset of, I don't really want to work, don't really have to work, I don't really have much for skills. I'm just going to go work at Starbucks or some minimum wage job or whatever, or do whatever the guidance counselor tells me. With the exception of the parents that are all of the kids of entrepreneurs usually got some kind of drive and hustle.
Because
if you're an entrepreneur, especially like a small business, you're probably sort of starving, you know, generally, because you're either reinvesting in your business or trying to recover from the last investment, or you're building a business. So you know
the value of work,
that
and
too.
So you know that you want to transmit that to your kids, and so you want to involve them in it. I mean, there's a lot of people. My parents were like this, where I got to go to work with my mom when I was a kid, when I was 7, 8, 9 years old, and that was a big thing for me. It made a big difference.
My dad didn't have a choice but to put me to work when I was a kid, or take me to work, mm-hmm. with him. You know, him and my mom had separated when I was young. So she wasn't around for, probably from the time I guess I was like 3 to 8 or whatever. And then, you know, but he put me and my brother to work. And then, of course, my younger brothers just wanted to, my dad remarried. He had 2 more kids. You know, they wanted to work like their big brothers and their dad, you know, and that's what we did. So, but I've had a lot of people, entrepreneurs, who I've known that their kids are, you know, doing their own things. And some of those kids, you know, they're not all entrepreneurs, but they're definitely workers and they have responsibility. And they sort of learned how to earn their dopamine hit. They learned they got their dopamine hit from accomplishing the task, whatever it is, whether it was cleaning up the yard or right. you know anything. And so entrepreneurs if can be really good, effective parents without even trying, just because of the fact that, like you said, they want to teach their skill to their kids. They understand. In fact, the kid I went to, one of the kids I went to high school with, he was Noonan family. J.P. Noonan's big trucking company in Northeast, they're related to them. And anyways, very, very wealthy. And he made all his kids work. And Teddy Noonan was a guy I graduated high school with, very wealthy guy. He owns a business now. But as a kid, he was always a worker. He had a landscape company, and his parents could have totally just given him a ride, you know, never have to work again.
Mm-hmm.
But he's one of these guys that's going to either grow his business or at least, you know, his father's business, or at least maintain it or something. And then, cause there is a lot of these people who get these really big, wealthy businesses, become multimillionaires, and their kids just, you know,
ruin it,
you know, in a generation or two.
Yeah.
But it's important that at a young age, we train our kids to get some kind of positive, you know, earned dopamine hit from doing work. Doesn't matter what it is, even if it's just helping put the dishes away. And to do that as a parent is actually a challenge. Because basically, for example, when I take my 3-year-old and we go feed the pigs, the cows, and the chickens, mm-hmm. it takes me like 4 to 5 hours to do that whole job. And sometimes if I do all of that with the kid, I can't even do it all at one shot. You know, I do it like some in the morning.
So
with
it slows
her.
You down.
Definitely. So I can do all that work by myself in, an hour. But it takes like 3 times as long to do it with the kid. I've had some friends that are like, well, I'm not going to let my kid stack firewood because I just need to get it done, or split firewood, mm-hmm. And we got to pay. And I'm like, your kid's 7. He should be stacking firewood. And he's like, no, I just need to get it done.
Stack the firewood.
And it's not worth my time. Yeah. And it's like they don't realize, how much of an
have to invest time in kids, right? Isn't that the point of having kids?
It is, absolutely. But there's very few people who realize that, which is it's because our society, our culture, Americans especially, or, Westerners, I guess, Westerners have gotten to the point that they're like, oh, I pay property taxes. I pay these taxes. It's not my job to teach my kids things. That's why they go to school. And every once in a while, I'm talking about investing in our posterity. Every once in a while, probably 3 times now, somebody's really gotten some status, get in my face and be like, well, that's what taxes are for. That's what schools are for. And blah, 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 you know.
Yeah, schools have never inculcated entrepreneurial spirit. They want to crush that. The whole point of the government school system, and John Taylor Gatto, of course, the teacher of the year for New York State for many years ago, he's passed away since then. He wrote the book on this, pointed out that the government schools are what they call the Prussian education system, which is designed to create a worker drone, someone who they will work. But they're not going to do a great job. They know how to maybe do some basic math. They can read, but they're never going to question their circumstances in life. They're never going to question the authority or question the system or question their boss or whatever. They're just going to get a job. They're going to plug into the system for 40 years. They're going to retire. And in the meantime, they're going to have some little drone children that they're going to send to the government school for the same sort of indoctrination purposes. That's the reason why the government school system works, and that's one of the reasons why you need to get your kids out of the government school system, so you can actually have an effect on them and not have it countered. You can help them learn what's important in life and not have it countered by the people in the government schools.
And for getting into the schools have gotten ridiculous, especially with like a lot of these leftist policies and, mm-hmm. The, what do they call it? Inclusivity.
I have no idea.
DIY something. But basically it's like diversity, inclusivity, and something else. I can't remember, but basically it's just like, segue a little bit. Andrew Tate, I listened to a little thing about him driving in today, and he's like, they hate me because I'm telling men to be strong, to fight hard, to work hard, to go after and conquer and get what they want. And he says, this is why they're coming after me. And he's accusing, whoever the deep state of poisoning him or something recently or today. But anyways, he goes, if I was talking about cutting off my junk and dressing like a woman, they wouldn't be taking me off of platforms. They wouldn't be charging me with this stuff. They would be embracing me. But you know, Andrew.
Well, I don't know if that's true. I mean, Aria is going to prison for 18 months. She strands, so that didn't save her.
So Aria, you know, is trans, but Aria doesn't like, you know, shove it in your face and push it on you and like, you know, talk, you know, about, you know, her, like, whatever her, you know, form of transgender is, you know, like, it doesn't seem like she pushes it and markets it like a Dylan Mulvaney, you know, in my opinion, at least all my conversations with her. And if somebody asks her about something, she's, you know, very forward with them. And, but like, so anyways, that's what Andrew Tate was saying. But the thing is, like, you know, a lot of these guys that are sort of telling, you know, people to, you know, be responsible for themselves. The media, the corporate, you know, press doesn't, you know, big tech doesn't want that message being put out there.
We'll go to the phones here. We got Major Payne on the line in Michigan. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Major.
Yeah, you guys have given me so many alleys to go down. I remember building many a tree fort when I was a kid. And that taught me construction skills and how strong something needed to be so I wouldn't fall 30 feet out of a tree and bust my royal hiney, you know. When I was only 12 years old, I got a job folding pizza boxes for, hell, I don't remember, a penny a piece, half penny a piece. This is back when minimum wage was like $1.35 an hour. They get all the Pepsi we could drink, and if we got lucky, maybe a slice of a crew pie, you know.
Okay.
But, I mean, if you want something, you got to go get it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's
true. You got to go get it. You can't expect, if you wait for the government to give you something, you're going to spend your whole damn life looking at the mailbox.
But a lot of these kids have not been taught that, Major. They've been taught that if you want something, you just have to ask your parents, beg for it, and they'll hand it to you on a silver platter.
If you want government...
I remember a buddy of mine...
Hold that thought. You can tell that story here in just a moment. And you can hold yours as well. Okay, we'll continue here. Hour number two is on the way. You can join the show. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Talking about work ethic in current generations versus previous. This could be a long-term problem that gets worse.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about the alarming increase in man-made disasters, financial institutions collapsing, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare, and the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on over a dozen emergency food kits. These include tasty breakfasts, lunches, dinners, drinks, fruits, veggies, meats, and snacks, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. My Patriot Supply food kits are in stock and shipped discreetly. We've seen too many Americans let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.